The reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, commencing to read at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And that is God's precious word.
Good morning. It's lovely to be here. Well, it's that time of the year again. The season of Advent and Advent sermons. What does the word Advent mean? It means coming. It means the coming of Jesus into the world and a reminder that he is coming again. Advent is a time for looking back and a time for looking forward. We look back at his first coming and we look very much forward to his second coming. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Weren't they lucky? Isaiah writes of the people who walked in darkness. He writes of the terrible predicament that these people faced. They were in darkness. He uses this word so that we understand they were wandering round lost because they worshipped idols and had rebelled against God. They had not listened to the word of God. They were in spiritual darkness. They couldn't see where they were going. They were blinkered. However, the darkness was in them, not around them. As you read the book of Isaiah, you will see what Isaiah is addressing. God has called out to his people who have turned away from him, and he warns them of the penalties of their behavior and calls on them to repent. Their rebellion against him is the reference to them walking in the darkness. This is their distress. Even the word darkness conjures up an image of hopelessness and despair. What can a people, a nation, do so that they may move forward out of the darkness that surrounds them? Here's a statistic for you. In approximately 3,530 years of recorded history, there have only been 286 years of peace, which represents 8% of time. Now that's not very much. During this time, 8,000 peace treaties have been broken. God's will for us has always been peace. The book of Isaiah, the prophet writes that wild animals will lie peacefully together with a small child beside them. This is the peace that God wants in the world. This is why he sent his only begotten son Jesus, in order for us to live not in darkness, but by the light that he would bring. The implication is that God desires peace despite all the wars and battles that have been fought for many a cause. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. God then sends a message of hope. He promises he will send a light that will lighten the world. From years of dwelling in the darkness, God has now told his people they can be saved by a promise. God calls out to his people who have turned away from him. He warns them of the consequences and calls them to repent because they have rebelled against him. They are walking in darkness. But the promise of hope, the promise that God will send a light, is intentioned to dispel the darkness. A light to lighten the world. We need to be brought out of the darkness. We need the darkness to be taken from us so that we may shine. What is this light? What is the promise God has given us? A son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. This light that will lighten the world is a child, but he is also King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is Emmanuel, God who is with us. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ and the light of his glory and grace. We cannot do this on our own. We need him. When God called Abraham in the Old Testament to create a people, Abraham became the father of the Jews. Abraham was a Gentile like everyone else. But when God called Abraham and gave him a promise, the promise was not just for Gentiles, but for the whole world. No one was to be left out. God told Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Here is a reference to an event in the Old Testament where God calls his son out of Egypt, meaning God's people. And in the New Testament, God tells Joseph to take the baby Jesus out of Egypt and back to Israel. This is a fulfillment of God's prophecy. Has anyone ever said to you, do you want the bad news first or the good news first? Of course they have. And there the debate begins. Do you want to hear the bad news first and finish with the good news to lighten the disappointment? Or do you get the good news first and take the bad news on board afterwards? We are in the Christian season of Advent. For us here today as believers, we look forward in anticipation to the second advent of Christ, when Christ will return in bodily form back to telling the news. Can you imagine how Joseph felt when he was told by Mary that she was expecting a child? What went through his mind that day? Once you are betrothed to a person in those times, it was not uncommon not to see them for a year, so that when you got married, there was no chance of the child being born and not of biological descent. Joseph had just received the bad news first. Oops. What was he to do? Most men would have called off the wedding and the woman would have been shamed by her family and society. But Joseph was about to hear the good news. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him, Mary was going to give birth to a baby boy, a special baby, and he was to be called Jesus. This was the good news that Joseph had waited for. He took Mary, his betrothed, and they went to Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Joseph had faith, even though he received the bad news first. He waited on God for an explanation of Mary's pregnancy and knew then that something special was going to happen, not only to the parents of the child, but to the whole world. It was a long walk along a small, dark, cold English road. There was no traffic, no cars or trucks that would break the stillness that would provide some light and something to break the silence. As the walker trudged up the road, the air, whistling through leaf-empty trees, made noises that brought fear that was as cold as the iced-over snowbanks that blocked the scenery. The journey continued up the next hill, past the historic hillside cemetery. The caps of the headstones barely poking above the snow. The familiar sight didn't provide comfort, but increased anxiety, and the concern whether the destination would ever be reached, and if the night would end in a frozen, lonely death. 30 minutes later, past empty fields and dark houses, the single porch light at the end of a long driveway could be seen, and the fears left faster than the traveller's feet could travel across the snow-covered gravel. Home, safe and warm, peacefulness soon embraced this very cold and tired young man. But it was the light shining through the darkness that lifted his spirits and gave him hope. The hope that is realized as we celebrate his light entering the world, ripping open a dark and hopeless world and filling it with the love of God, is incredible. There is darkness in life without Christ. The book of Isaiah and the birth of a little child are compared not to a lonely porch light, but to the great light of the sun, removing any sign of darkness. In Isaiah, the people of God have been torn into two rival kingdoms, with one of them taken into captivity. We learn in Scripture that the remnant, two of the 12 remaining tribes, was troubled by other nations. Morally, they were bankrupt, having so turned away from God that their king sacrificed his son to the false god of their oppressors. Sin and injustice seemed to reign, and poverty and hunger ravaged those who remained. 700 years later, in the same area of the world, in situations just as bleak, the light would envelop poor workers on fields outside a tiny little town. Multitudes of angels would appear and announce the incredible news that a baby was born. I am trying to picture the shepherds as they heard the news. Can you imagine, in the midst of the news reports of these last few months, collapsing share prices, a volatile stock market, record number of people losing their homes and others their jobs, and a newsreader saying, "Don't panic. You see, this baby has just been born in South Dublin." What would our reaction be? Would we drop everything, race to catch a DART or a bus to see this miracle? Go from church this morning and realize that the light has shined into your life, because indeed Jesus was born, took on flesh and blood, and lay in a manger. We are no longer lost following gods of our own creation. The fears of being alone have been replaced by the joy of being home with God our Father. The guilt and shame of our past have been erased by the birth and death of a baby on a cross cruder than the manger in which he lay. For into your life, where darkness once overwhelmed, a light has shined. For you a child was born, to you the Son was given, and the responsibility for your life is laid upon him. For he is wonderful. He is the comforter, the one who walks beside you, giving you strength. He is our everlasting Father, our all-powerful God. And his rule leaves us resting peacefully. It goes on. God will establish his reign, a reign of justice and righteousness, which will go on forever. The light has not just invaded the darkness, it has demolished it. Sin, Satan, death, fear, guilt, and shame is all banished with the darkness, and we are bathed in the love of God, the God who calls us to abide with him. What amazes me most about these words of Isaiah, proclaiming the wondrous incarnation, is this last phrase: "The zeal of the Lord will do this." The zeal of the Lord has done this. God is keen to repair the relationship he wants to have with you, and passionately pursued it to the extent of taking on flesh and living amongst us, dying on a cross and coming and being the Comforter, the Holy Spirit who dwells within people. There is no point in carrying your torch unless it has a battery. Jesus is our torch. Switch it on. May Jesus Christ enlighten your life so that everything that is dark or causes fear or concern is so seen that you know the gifts of mercy, of love, of peace that comes from the Father forever. Amen.